Open your eyes. Wake up, Link.
I'm Luke Summerhayes.
I'm James J. Miles.
And I'm James the Jasper Stewart.
And you're listening to Hyrule Field Report. And Jess, what did we do last week?
Well, last week we were chatting a hell of a long time about some stable side quests, and then we ended off on the Zonai ruins, on the part of the main quest.
Oh, maybe you'd feel happier about it if you'd done the stable side quest. Yeah.
Totally my fault, totally.
And Jay, what are we up to this week?
This week? Let's crack on with a bit of that main quest, shall we?
Yeah,
we got a bit sidetracked last time, taking some snaps, doing some shrines. I think it's time we unearth the mystery of this fifth sage.
I genuinely thought that was going to be like a 10-minute interlude.
What?
Talking about the stables.
Oh, right. I did say, listeners, I said to Luke, that will probably take a good chunk of time.
Yeah, he wasn't wrong.
Yep.
Jay just wanted to talk about his extreme photography.
Yeah, you're right. But yes, we made some headway on uncovering the mystery of the fifth sage last time, because we uncovered some islands in the sky that were once shrouded by a storm. However, having said that, we aren't quite cracking up the main quest yet. Got a little side quest that we left out last time because we did want to make some progress, which was a little bit up further up at the back at the mouth of the river, up at the Dracozu Lake. We've got the
Shrine of Courage. Spring of Courage, sorry, yes.
Correct, yes.
So these are significant in Breath of the Wild and Skyward Sword. It's where Zelda goes to pray at the Three Springs. And I think it's where Link goes to power up the Master Sword, is that right? Back in Skyward Sword.
Yes, you're right, yes.
And in Breath of the Wild, you don't actually do much there, but you see Zelda going there in the memories.
That's right, yeah. I'm pretty sure there's one of the missions in Hyrule Warriors takes place there. She's going to power up and she gets ambushed, I think, at the spring of...
Is it not hold off the enemies while she does what she has to do or something like that?
Correct, yeah, that's right.
That was happening just off screen in the Breath of the Wild memory, presumably.
yes. But there's three quests, one at each of the springs. We've got the Spring of Courage down here in Farron. We've got the Spring of Wisdom, which I think is pretty much at the peak of Lanayru Mountain, right?
Yeah, that one's up in the mountains.
Yes. And lastly, we have the Spring of Power up in Akala. And yeah. Each of these quests, they are all part of a one big umbrella quest, which is the Mother Goddess statue. So the...
Back at the Lost Temple.
Yes.
There's the big statue, the giant version of the goddess statue we see everywhere else, which in this game has toppled over, which is how we were able to go to the secret Zonai bit behind it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So whenever you start this quest, depending on whether you go to the Mother Goddess statue first or if you go to one of these three smaller statues, the three smaller statues will direct you to go and visit the Mother Goddess statue because they can no longer sense it. And that's when you see it's toppled over. And when you report the news to the smaller statues, they say, we can maybe help restore that, but I need you to help power me up. And what you have to do to power up the Courage one is you have to offer the dragon Farosh's claw and drop it into the spring. And the other two, they would like a clue, would obviously like one for...
The other two dragons, basically.
The other two dragons, Dinral and Dinral. Yeah. So on.
Obviously not the light dragon, because that's separate.
and not linked to any of the shrine, any of the springs as well. But yes, once you get all three, you can go and you go back to the goddess statue. It will then be upright again, and it will thank the devoted swordsman who offered his prayers, and will reward you very appropriately with the big skyward sword reference here, with the white sword of the sky, which is modelled after the goddess white sword from Skyward Sword, which is like your starting sword?
It basically is the master sword, right? But you haven't charged it yet. Or is it not?
This is one that you place in your home, like, in the game.
Yeah.
As a trophy.
Definitely.
It would have been fun if they'd made it work like the Master Sword and be rechargeable, and then you'd have had two to swap between, but maybe that would have negated the whole weapon thing too much.
I think that would have been okay for like the end game, right? Like if you're swapping, let's say...
Yeah, it's not like you're going to have versions. Things very early.
So if you had like three different versions of the Master Sword in the game, you could just like rotate them. Like, against that, that would still be fun. Especially with the ultra hand and stuff that you can kind of join to the weapons.
Yeah, attach a different thing to each one. Yeah. It'd have been
beast.
Apparently, if the sword breaks, you can get a replacement from the Mother Goddess statue. So,
okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so here's one where Jas has been putting it in his house that he shouldn't have been. You got me there.
it's clearly like white sword of the sky. Like, can't be using that in battle.
But back in Farron, if we head on up to the Poplar Foothills Skyview Tower, rocket ourselves up into the sky, we can make our way over to the Thunderhead Islands.
Similar to the river at ground level, these are also a big dragon-shaped island, like a big skeletal with like spines poking out, curling around to a head. Dragon. Not visible when the storm is there, but now you can see it quite clearly.
Yes, I think the actual head of the dragon is an island unto itself called Dragonhead Isle.
Yeah.
So. See, this is kind of, this is like your equivalent of making your way up to the Wind Temple or to the Water Temple bit of the main quest here. And this is all with a little kind of combat traversal challenge section as you go across the Thunderhead Islands. There's lots of constructs and such dotted about here for you to meet. And quite a few goodies as well, I think. There's some maps and stuff.
I think there's like
a cool thing as well, like when you watch
two Sage's Wills.
I'm going to mention, like, once you actually land on Thunderhead Islands, like, if you're still wearing the charged, like, set, like, it actually starts to glow up because it's like thunder and lightning.
Yeah, that's really itself, cool.
And the whole armor glows up because it's got the stormy weather attack ability to it.
Yeah, so
I actually found this area quite kind of tough because I kind of wanted to persist in using the armor, which wasn't upgraded, so the enemies were a lot harder than they should be.
So I, on my first visit here, found this area very, very tough because I didn't realize this was part of the main quest when I first came across it.
Oh.
And I thought it was some sort of crazy puzzle where you had to go through the storm and traverse your way to the front of the island.
Okay, this is interesting. I had no idea you tried to do this.
Yes, I was saving the story till we actually spoke about it, of course. Nice. So there is... It's not like you can even see like a shadow of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of make out where the rain's hitting the ground and you can kind of target enemies and see where they are. I don't know why I thought this was an intended thing for you to do, because by no means can you easily traverse these islands. You probably can if you memorize the route or know exactly where to go.
I mean, not let you get through the storm. I thought you just kind of pushed you away.
Oh yeah. No, it lets you through. It definitely lets you through.
That's cool. Like, we don't talked about last week, Jas, like Breath of the Wild. And Tears of the Kingdom, sorry. Usually does let you do things you're not supposed to do.
Yes. So this is where I was kind of holding back a little bit when we were talking about sequence breaking and such last week, because I think that if you do know your way through the storm and you know how to traverse the Thunderhead Isles without, you know, visibility, I reckon it's probably like, I suppose the analogy I would use, it's like knowing the layout to Rock Tunnel in Pokemon, for example. Mm-hmm.
You can do it without like Flash if you choose to, yeah.
You can do it without Flash if you want to, right? If you memorise the route and you're... But it was very much like that. not knowing where to go, buying into walls, trying to climb up what clearly is a climbable structure, but then you get like the lip of a roof overhead, trying to ascend through it. I think I got pretty far.
I was going to say, how far did you get?
I definitely remember a flux construct, and looking on the map, there's only one, looking on the interactive map, that is, there's only one fairly close to the front of the island.
Yes, at the okay. central, right? And isn't it the central part of the island? The big circle platform?
Kind of like, yeah, it's fairly far along though, like it's not
that far away from the front. A lot more than half.
Yeah, definitely. It's near a shrine that we'll speak about in a minute or two as well. And yeah, I definitely remember fighting that thing or trying to fight that thing when I was here first on the first time. But yeah, I think I'm missing something here and left it.
So you didn't get as far as any of the shrines?
No,
because that would have been cool if you'd had a fast travel shrine up here. Oh, then when you unlocked it for the quest, you just went, "Oh, right, easy peasy."
Yeah, exactly. And it made me wonder, like, if I got to the front of the island, would I have been able to very heavily sequence break?
Yeah, who knows?
I'd be very curious to know. In fact, I'm going to Google that whilst we continue speaking about the main quest. But we did allude to it there. There are a couple of shrines for us to have a look at up here.
Mm-hmm. Weirdly, I don't think it does this many other places in the game. The shrines have, like, matching names.
Juku Usin and Juku Yu Shrine.
Yeah, they're like, they sound like brother shrines. Juku-u, Juku-usin. The first one, I think, is Juku-u. The little brother, I guess. And this one is...
It's the other way around. So the first one you get to is Juku Usin.
Oh, there you go.
Proving grounds. The one that they hit is...
Number 5 is alive.
That's it there, Luke. A reference all the kids will get.
Listen, I don't make my references for anyone's benefit but me. And I thought you'd have learned that about me by now.
No, I appreciate it.
So yeah, this is another connecting up electricity one. Makes sense in the Big Thunder Island.
No, this one's a proving ground with electric weapons.
Oh, okay. Don't know what you're right, yeah, proving ground. I just heard short circuit and ignored the other two words.
Yeah. There we go. Look, another thing I know about you, selective hearing. So yeah, proving ground, we've spoke about these ad nauseum by now, but you get an electro elixir for clearing it out, which is something that probably would have been very useful to have before you got in there, but there we go. So the other one is, I think it's just a Rauru's Blessing, in fact, but I suppose you've had to go through the whole Thunderhead Isles to actually get to this point, right?
Maybe it's a Rauru's Blessing specifically for players who did what you did. Because they sure as hell have earned it.
Like, yeah, good job.
Come back here later, mate.
So I'll get to that in a minute, but once you land on Dragonhead Isle, you can grab the shrine, have the blessing. Just north of the shrine, there's some vines you can cut, and there's a door, which I suppose is a more of a hard barrier of entry, so you can't entirely sequence break this bit.
Ah, yeah, it's a heart door again, right?
It's a heart door. It's like the one from the beginning of the game, but this one requires 10 heart containers to clear.
Mm.
So you'll need to have done some...
Yeah, you'll need to have done some shrines.
Yes.
So you couldn't come here right at the start of the game.
But you apparently can skip the entire game, pretty much, and have the fifth sage as your first sage, if you want to.
I would love to see... In fact, I'm going to just search for it on YouTube. If it's possible, someone's done it.
Mm. Oh, yeah, someone has done it. There's a Reddit post about it here that I found.
Okay, great, yeah. So you can
even just sequence breakers. Even just getting to like the Dragonhead Island itself, like earlier, is like really useful as well, because it's got the Zone Eye device dispenser on it as well, which is like a wing, car, fan, steering stick. Like really useful items.
And apparently there is actual dialogue that they have in the game when you unlock the Fifth Sage quest. You say, oh yeah, I've already done that. They're all just shocked and stunned. So it's a little bit like the dialogue that you were talking about, like where if you've somehow done the four phenomena before even speaking to Pura, for example.
Mm.
So it's a little nod. You're saying, okay, you did this, you madman. But,
why?
Probably weren't meant to. Why? Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But, if we pass through that door and enter into our little room, there is a Zone Eye relic, which looks like a mask of sorts. Like looks like an eyeball almost. And it will emit a beam of green light, which will rocket down into the ground. And there'll be a voice that's heard saying, Link, chosen protector of Zelda, take this, follow the light. Which would have been a great place to leave last week's episode, but we spent ages talking about fucking stables instead.
I think that was probably when I was putting this document together, sort of where I imagined the break being.
Yes. Starts another main quest, Guidance from Ages Past.
So this is the only we've had main quest dungeons in the sky. We've had main quest dungeons in the depths. They think this is the only one where it's genuinely you go all the way from the sky down to the depths in the same quest.
Yeah, and I think it's... I wish there was more quests like this in the game. We've spoke about this before, how there's not that many quests, that, even side quests, that do this. Mm-hmm. And maybe on purpose, because they don't want you gallivanting around the whole world. But I'm glad at least one of the main quests did.
And it makes sense to have that, save that for the fifth quest, right? Like the final.
Yep.
Sage does a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only... Even side quest-wise, I think the only one we had was the... In the Great Plateau, we were grabbing orbs from the sky and taking them down.
That's right.
To the depths. So yeah, this is a bit like that. Yeah, we finish this whole sky thing and it's like, oh, you thought you were done? Not even close. Dive straight down to the depths and
yes, we
start
through,
doing something very cool.
Yes, we go through Tobio's Hollow Chasm, which is kind of like to the east of where we started on the Dracozo Lake. There'll be like a little hole in the wall that you can get through near there. And once you drop down there, you attach the mask to a plinth in there, which will open up a door into a part of the depths that we've not spoken about, which is the Construct Factory.
Hmm. And yeah, so we got the mask we got is basically the head of a robot we're going to build.
Hell yeah.
Mech time. Metal Gear.
The first thing we see, it's like it's like what you'd get a Gundam out of.
Yeah, like a speed. Yeah, like when you need to build yourself. Yeah.
But in this case, it's the opposite, where you've got the frame, but none of the bits of the robot, and you need to go and grab them and plug them in.
Yeah, but even when you grab the pieces, right, they're like kind of in a little box, like a separate kind of box you need to kind of open up.
So I think this is a case of we could go and get the two arms and the two legs in any order.
Yes.
Or does she specifically direct us to certain ones?
I think you can do it in any order.
No, I think you can do it in any order. So yeah, well, first thing we should say is, once we, not that it wasn't obvious by this point of the game, I'm sure, but when you attach the head to the build a robot construction pad, the relic introduces itself as Minoru, the Sage of Spirit.
Mm.
So, of course, somebody that we're well aware of going in the memories, and a figure from...
Well, listen, I should have knew that already with your perfect impression of Minoru before.
Listen, Jas, I've only got one voice in my repertoire and it's Zelda.
Fair enough. I thought you had it pretty close, to be honest.
I'll work on it.
The mask that we find, he should have given it away anyway, because it's the same mask that we see Minoru wearing in the Sage cutscenes in the past.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, that ends up being the head of her mech body. And I think even when we were investigating the ring ruins, she talks about, like, I found a way to transcend my body or something. To put my soul in a construct or something like that.
Maybe? Can't remember that coming up, but...
I'm sure I remember hearing it before I got here and did it, basically.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't there, it was somewhere else. But yeah, it's similar to some of the other Depthsy quests we've done, where you're just traveling between different little different stations and just getting a piece. It does remind me a lot of the Great Plateau quest that we did.
A bit more puzzle involved.
So I guess it's more like more like dungeony rooms once you get there, yeah.
I would say that this is effectively, even though it's not a temple.
Yeah, this is mostly.
This
the
is
temple,
the dungeon.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and these are the four MacGuffins we need to get rather than, you know, using the Sage's power.
I think it's just. Am I remembering right that when you get each one, there's like a little train ride to take the robot piece back?
Basically, yeah. So
that's what I'm remembering as being similar to other depth stuff. But yeah, the structure is more like a dungeon, you're right.
If we go through this here, basically, there's the left arm one. The kind of core puzzle for this one is you're using wheels, like actually the Zonai wheels, to open doors.
Mm.
So like they're part of the overall sort of, there's sort of like a mechanism that uses the wheels. So you trigger them to wheel the door open, but then you'll have to then detach the wheel that was being used to power the door, to make you grab the container that's got the left arm. So you're talking about the kind of the little box you're going to take the arm out to build your gunpla. This is you actually attach the wheels to that and turn the arm container into a little car.
Yeah,
You then have to use to travel a bridge of lava.
As we're getting it stays in its box until you get it to
correct
the overall construct.
That's it. Yeah. So it's quite a fun bit here for the left arm because you actually then the little jaunt you take back is you're riding the left arm car that you've built back down to the main panel, which is was a fun little bit.
Yeah. And then we head on. I think it is like arm, leg.
Not the guide I've got up here.
Okay, yeah, lead the way, Jay.
let's do the left leg next.
I think that's because I'm thinking of the hokey pokey.
your left arm in, your left leg out. So this one here has effectively. There's like these rocket powered elevators. Do you remember these?
Yeah. You're attaching. Mm-hmm. It's basically like unmoving elevators, like on rails, but you attach a rocket to shoot them up.
Correct. So you need to put carry the container using Ultra Hand and then activate the rockets to go up to the next level of this depot. So these depots are pretty hard to break because it's not just you that has to traverse it. You're also going to have to traverse. You're also having to navigate it with this big container.
Yeah.
If it was just moving yourself, then you'd probably be able to use a lot of ascend and stuff to skip a lot of this. But you have to bring the big construct piece with you.
Yeah, and I think even though it's not as involved as the other dungeons, I do think this whole little area was pretty well designed. Maybe just because I wasn't expecting another dungeon at this point in the game.
And yeah, it's definitely
more puzzle-heavy than I thought it was going to be. It's like it's tricky, depending on what kind of part you're going after. Like they do get like kind of trickier as you go.
People debate this about all the temples, but this one does feel very like traditional Zelda dungeon because you can't really sequence break it. You're just following the puzzles that they've made for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're good puzzles.
Yeah, they like grab this important piece and then get through this maze, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also their unique puzzles to this dungeon, which is sort of an old Zelda feeling. There's no other dungeon where you're having to move around these big blocks everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like it as well, and I think maybe they felt braver with the design of this place that they can kind of use all the different techniques that you've learned up to
this point. Because, they know you've got everything.
Yeah, like the way they kind of so heavily involves, you know, Ultra Hand and the Zonai devices, they expect you to be familiar with them all by this point because you'll have probably ran into them, having done the four main dungeons, unless you've somehow sequence broken like we spoke about earlier.
But then you're a pro gamer for different reasons anyway, so.
Yes, then that's your fault and you bear that cross. I do like the design of Tears of the Kingdom as a whole, but maybe had it been more linear, we would have saw a different game in terms of how they designed the dungeons. Obviously, we would have shown a different game. But
yeah, because it would have been
It would have been interesting to see. Yes. But it would have been very interesting to see that game.
Yeah, I would like to see this level of competence applied to that slightly different type of game.
Like if the main quest was linear, how would that have come about in the dungeon design? That's kind of what I was getting at. But
you can pretty much play the game that way, as we've discussed back at the start of this season. So maybe it wouldn't have changed the dungeons that much.
I guess, but then I mean
the way
so
it would have changed, you would have taken Rauru's power, Tulin's power, and used it a little bit in the next dungeon and so on.
Yeah.
And maybe even they would have spread the they would have spread your actual main like Ultra Hand and everything powers across the dungeons possibly even.
In any case, we have a good finale to this left leg depot. We attach some rockets to the container, fly up a big ramp and come out, pretty much slide down a slope, and we'll land near the main factory again. So,
yeah, there were some puzzles like this with minecarts back in the Goron region. where you attach a bunch of rockets and have to make like a jump. Always fun. Unless you bottle it, and then it's very unfun to get back into place. What part is next, Jay? Before I guess
the right leg.
Oh, now we do two legs. I see.
Yep. Blame gamerant.com. This one, I can't remember how I did this, and Game Rant, they've told us just skip the puzzle with recall.
Great.
But it's maybe almost you like guys
they're
can
not writing it. This for the purposes of people who are doing podcasts about it.
Every chance.
But yeah, that's
I do remember
I
this. I mean, I think it is. Yeah. I genuinely think it is when they're spoken about this puzzle. So this puzzle, there's a rail, and you've kind of have to attach this sort of, like, it's like a clothes tag. Like they would hang up clothes on a clothing rack, basically. To the top of the container and loop it round the rail. But there's blockages and things, like there's like things that are blocking the path of the container and the little hook.
You, like, spin them around to kind of let it get through the loop, right?
Yeah, that's it. So you can you're kind of meant to use multiple hooks and, like you said, kind of flip it around, as you mentioned there, Jas, to get through it. Alternatively, you can just cheese it with kind of holding the box in place using recall and then just basically lift it around the blockage whilst it's in recall state. But
I do kind of remember this because putting the little tag or hook on it really makes it look like an action figure I'm buying from the store.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is very nostalgic for me. I was
like an enemy that pops up at this part of the puzzle as well, and it's like I found that, and I seem to remember an enemy getting in my way while I was trying to do the puzzle as well.
Could well be.
Every chance. Yeah, I think I do remember like lots of constructs and things kind of fitting the whole vibe around here, right, of it being the construct factory. I guess in lore this is where they were all built, right?
Yeah. Unless Minoru built it just to build these bodies for herself.
But eventually you'll get to, once you get past the real puzzle, it kind of leads it through this gap in a vent and up to an elevator. And then you get to the top of the depot and there's some glider and a fan. So you kind of ride the glider down to the factory with the leg and toe.
Attach the leg and make previously we made the arm into a car. We make the leg into a little plane. Fly it where we need to go. Which, again, fun.
Yep.
And then just one piece left.
Yeah, so the last one, the right arm. This one kind of has this awkwardly shaped like beam, basically, that's like, rather than being fully flat, it's like a diamond shape.
Yeah. So
like the top of the beams at the point, shall we say. So you've kind of got to attach some wheels to the container,
like a kind of Toblerone shape.
Yes, very good. Yes, exactly. Like a Toblerone shape. And you kind of attach the wheels to like the side of so they're kind of getting traction along the side of the beam, which then moves the whole piece of the arm along. You can then glide across to the other side and then I think eventually you'll get wheels and such that you can attach to the container and make your way.
I think I just rocketed across the gap and got lucky. It took a few attempts, but...
But we said that you can't cheese it. You definitely can still cheese it.
I had a bunch of zone-eye rockets.
I knew they wanted me to balance it across like the beam, like you're saying, but it's like, nah.
You were like, fuck that.
Got all these rockets, I'm going to use them and just fling it across the gap. And then if it didn't work, we called it back.
But with that, all four pieces of the robot attached, we have completed Exodia.
Formed the Megazord.
Formed the Megazord.
Pick your construct robot that gets put together out of other robots of choice.
Yep. And from within the robot, Minoru's voice appears saying, "Okay, now that's done. I need you to take me to the Secret Stone of Spirit, and you'll be able to do that using the power of the construct."
Yeah. So now, yeah, we've got our mech.
We've got a mech. I think this was the point for me when I was, as I was playing through the game, there was a thought going through my head. We've said it a couple of times in the podcast. Is this better than Breath of the Wild? That question was going through my head, even as I was playing. And I think this sealed the deal for me that yes, it's better. The fact that 150 hours in, or however much time I put into the game by this point, it still delivered such a cool moment, something that I could not have predicted to save myself. That we get a robot, an actual mech to ride. Yeah, customizable.
Yeah, I was going to say it, you can customize it in any way you want, like attached using the ultra hand abilities and such, like just attach whatever you want to it and like off you go, flying through the depths.
It's
yeah, I think it's for crazy. The argument that this game is better, this is the peak example. Because this game does do more and have more than Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't fully made up my mind because I can't decide if that the amount of extra stuff, I guess, that this game has makes up for the slightly less pure feeling of Breath of the Wild's world, which felt much more slightly less video gamey than the Tears of the Kingdom world, if you get what I mean.
It's like more grounded Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I guess, but I think for me, games are their most fun when they just don't pretend that they're not games.
I guess, but I also do love a sense of immersion in a game and being in a real place. Like, I still feel like I visited Breath of the Wild Hyrule. I feel like that's a place I went to. Whereas I can't say the same about some of these Tears of the Kingdom's location because, you know, they're big floating Mario Galaxy levels. But maybe that's a conversation to save maybe for the end of this series.
Perhaps, yeah. But a conversation we should be having now is, tell me your mech loadouts, boys.
I always put a fan on the back so I can boost around.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I need a rocket on the back to jump somewhere.
Can't Zonai cannon, at least on one of the arms.
Yeah, basically, ranged on one arm, melee on the other is usually my thing. So a cannon, or a ray, or a fire emitter, or something.
Yeah, I think I had Zonai cannon on one arm, and usually like the beam emitter on the other, the laser.
So yeah, I would go either.
If you didn't have a fan for the back of the mech, either another good kind of backup to that is the glider.
Okay,
the
yeah.
Glider, you can put it out on the back, and it kind of lets you. Once you got up to a high place, you can hop off the mech and glide down with it slightly.
Ah, I never would have thought to do that. Mainly because I would probably just attach the rocket on the back.
Like, yeah, like it's like the fan and the rockets are like the almost obvious choices, right?
Yeah. And I think because this is obviously not as readily apparent an ability to use as the others, the whole journey to where our next location is, the Spirit Temple, where we're going next, is almost a tutorial of sorts on how to use the mech, right? Like, you stop off at different of those Zonai part depots, and they'll have maybe a new weapon for you to try, or a new piece to attach to the back to change your traversal options. So you're getting a real crash course on how to use the mech.
Yeah.
And your journey to the Spirit Temple, and there's lots of enemies and such for you to fight along the way as well. And oh, what a great set. It's not a set piece, because that's just not how this game works outside of maybe a couple of choice instances, but what a great little section of this main quest.
I mean, I think it is fair to call it a set piece, more or less. Like, it's a bit you have to go through, essentially.
I suppose. When I say set piece, I'm thinking more like a turret section.
Yeah, more like a scripted event, almost. In a way.
But, like, it's scripted that you come here and do this stuff.
Yeah, but it's freeform in how, like, you get through it, right?
That just means it's a good set piece.
Yeah.
I suppose. I guess for me, I was thinking more along the lines of, like, the lava dragon battles. Yeah, stuff like the big lava dragon at the top of Death Mountain, stuff like that.
Yeah, but if that's all a set piece can be, then that set pieces are bad, right? Because that was over in 4 seconds.
I wouldn't say it's bad. It was a spectacle.
It was a spectacle, but this is more of like an extended gameplay segment.
Correct, and it's very fun to play. Mm-hmm.
And I like the subtly it's showing you, like, hey, look, now that you have a mech, you can just walk over all this gloom.
Yes. So it almost made me a little annoyed
that you'd
because
done
by
so
this
much
point,
depths already.
So much of the depths by this point that I kind of wish I'd saved some of it at least to roam about with my big mech pal. Mm-hmm. But alas, I did not.
And then eventually you do get to the Spirit Temple itself, and we find out why we had to build Minoru a new body.
Correct. So, this isn't another dungeon, but basically this is your final boss of this dungeon area of sorts. As inside the Spirit Temple, we'll come face to face with the seized construct, which was the original body that Minoru created for herself, but it's all been gloomed up.
And basically, kind of turns into Punch-Out.
I was going to say Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah.
It's boss.
Yeah.
Effectively here, we are smacking the enemy robot and knocking it into like the electrified walls, essentially.
Yes. Yeah, you're not really damaging it just by hitting it, but once you get it into a wall, it puts it in a damageable state.
Yes. And like when you hit it with your weapons and such, like your spiked iron balls or cannons or whatever you're using, you're not really doing lots of damage to it. The way you're doing the damage to it is knocking it into the fence, and that's when it gets electrocuted, that's when it loses most of its health.
Yeah, it's more of a traditional Zelda do the thing three times boss fight than like a health bar-y
pretty much
action game boss fight.
That's it. But yeah, phase two is pretty fun because it pretty much becomes General Grievous at this point.
Swinging out its weapons.
Grows two arms, attaches new weapons, and I think it flies about and stuff and bits like that as well. So
yeah, basically everything that it's just shown you that you could potentially do on yours, it does all of it at once.
Yeah. Says deal with this.
It's very mech game, you know, loadouts and attaching different weapons and implements.
Mercifully not as hard as an armored core.
No.
But still.
Incredibly. Not quite as customizable either. Well, you know, it's a close
thing.
Where's
my Eva?
This boss fight, like the heft to the fight, is like really satisfying.
I think that's why I said Punch-Out, because it's not like it's very, you wait, he drops his guard, you get your swings in, but there's like a
there's time into it.
The mech doesn't swing attacks as quickly as Link does.
You know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
It reminds me of the the Bowser face in Mario Odyssey.
Yes, especially, yeah, because him, it's the way it's like, boom, 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 and then you finally knock him back far enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a timing and movement to it, which adds to the beat of the game, which makes it probably more satisfying than the old hits.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And it's a bit of a shame as well, because I think, unlike the other four regional phenomena bosses, this one doesn't appear again in like any of the...
Yeah, there's not one hiding in the depths for you to rematch.
Yeah. Because I would genuinely do this fight again. It was a lot of fun. Whereas Goma, maybe not.
I think I did do them all again, but just because they were there. It's not like I was chomping at the bit to do it.
Yeah, when you were like happened to be there in the right place. Like,
yeah,
oh, this guy.
When in Rome, walk like an Egyptian. And that's the end of our spirit temple. I can't remember. Do we get to see the imprisoning war again here?
Not quite. But we do get... I think we get a little snippet of it. But more importantly, we if we hadn't been told about it by this point, this is where Minoru would say, yeah, we kind of hatched a plan to destroy Ganondorf. But to do so, we needed the Master Sword to be powered up. But we don't know where it is in the present day. Obviously, we've covered that on this podcast. We do know we have it at this point. We've already recovered it. But if you hadn't done, it would direct you towards the Great Deku Tree to actually find it at this point. So
yeah, that's okay. Interesting, because that implies that sort of the quote-unquote intended order would have been that at this point in the game is when we would go and do the Deku Tree stuff. But
yeah,
that climax is in a boss fight with just like a single Phantom Ganon. And at this point in the quest, we've done like the Hyrule Castle 10 Phantom Ganons boss fight and stuff like that.
I guess climax of that whole section is the Zelda reveal, right?
Yeah. That's but I just mean like the specifically
from
the,
a combat
the castle,
aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specifically the forest, rather.
Yeah, I guess it makes the Phantom Ganon reveal, if that was your first Phantom Ganon fight, be that much more impressive in the castle. If you hadn't somehow run across it by this point.
Mm.
Yeah, but we've already spoken about that. So,
but I guess that it's a good point to make us remember there isn't really a correct route through these games. We've tried to pick one that makes the most narrative sense and that kind of is the order Nintendo intended.
Yeah.
But like, you're meant to do a little bit of everything all the way through, right? They don't actually want you to play this like a linear Zelda.
No, because it isn't a linear Zelda
at
all.
Yeah, something to like, kind of pick a way at. Like, ideally, like, it's just that you pick a way at the game like over like a year or two.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, like... right? Is people like us, gamers who talk about games, we're not the normal way people play games.
Absolutely.
When a game sells like, what did they sell, like 30 million or something?
Some crazy number.
Yeah, maybe a million of those are hashtag quote unquote gamers. But the rest are just, you know, salaryman kids, whatever, people who play a little bit of games here and there. Maybe this was their main game for a year.
Yeah,
they're like,
got that. I heard seen people like online talking about when Tears of the Kingdom released. It kind of gives your average gamer a little joke to go, oh, maybe I'll go back to Breath of the Wild and finish it. Like, I saw that, like, a lot online.
Yeah, like, one of my mates, he's into his games, but, like, I wouldn't say he's certainly not as big a gamer as any of us in this cast who are recording 50-plus hours of content about a game that they've put 200-plus hours into already. Like, I was asking him... You got into Tears of the Kingdom, and he was saying, "Nah, just I probably should finish Breath of the Wild first." Genuinely, like just said, you know, he to him, he's still got that to play. That's his main game, so.
Well, my friend Amelia, who is a big gamer, right? She's been to like competitive Pokemon. She's like been to tournaments and stuff. She finished Breath of the Wild right before Tears of the Kingdom came out because she'd been dragging it out that whole time because she didn't want it to end. And done like she tried to do absolutely everything before doing the final boss.
I do that with games. She finally sometimes like, well, I'm gonna have to really give up enjoying
the Koroks and finish.
I do that with games sometimes that I'm really enjoying. I just like I drag it out. I'm like, I don't want this to finish. Even done it to a point with Tears of the Kingdom where I got to the like Spirit Temple like part where we're just like been talking about is like I'm like, oh, that's a good spot to leave it. I know I'm like on the final stretch of the game and I'm just like, you know what, I won't play the game for like 6 hours today, I'll play for like 2.
I get what you mean. Yeah. To that sort of extent. Mm-hmm. Although often when I get too close to the end of a game, like sometimes even a game that I have been playing just like an hour a day, if I know I'm near the end, I'll be like, I've got to finish it. And that's how I end up staying up to like 3 a.m. on a work night. Yeah, there's all kinds of folks.
But
they're not all the same people who are on Twitter talking about games and bitching about games and recording podcasts. You know? Some people, it's just one of many things. It's like, have I told you about my colleague who told me I have so many hobbies?
No, like you mentioned this.
One time at lunch, I was reading a book. And one of my colleagues said, oh, all right, Luke, reading a book. Wow, you have so many hobbies.
Like, earnestly or sarcastically?
It's like, I mean, I kind of do. You know, I like a bit of hiking. I play a bit of games. I record some stuff. I wouldn't have put reading books in that list. I was under the impression everyone reads books.
I guess, like, I've been going through...
Yeah, everybody kind of reads books to, like, different degree. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're getting through at. Training. Like, you're kind of they're surprised that you've got, like, that you do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, someone, like, them, for example, might, like, only hyper-focus on one thing.
That's also, it's way more the Japanese attitude is to have one hobby that is just your life.
Right.
But that's also because they tend to have less free time.
I guess I've been going for training at work recently, so I've had a lot of that kind of icebreaker, what are you into? And a lot of people will just say, yeah, I like reading books, watching films, things like that. And I'm
like stock,
you know,
cancer,
thinking,
right, where like sneakily they're into something else.
Sneakily they're big deviants. Yeah.
Well, see, to me,
well, it's like generally when you speak to like an average person, you're not going to like admit to like an average person that you maybe into watching like wrestling, right? Because like
not the
seems
first
to be like a stigma to, yeah.
Because to me, I would almost put video games on the same like sometimes I watch a movie, sometimes I read a book, sometimes I play games. I mean, I tend to play games more than I do those other ones because I like them. But I don't even necessarily call gaming my hobby. If someone asks me what my hobby is, I say hiking. Because I think that's more... To me, at this point, most people play games, right?
I guess, but it is also your hobby. I mean, you do podcasts about it.
Well, yeah, I guess my actual hobby would be podcasting, but I can't be asked to explain that to normies.
Like everyone knows what
another another thing, another thing that everybody does.
It depends who you're speaking to. If you're speaking to a white dude in their 20s or 30s, they probably have a podcast as well. We got way off track there, so let's wrap this one up. If we have already done the Master Sword quest, so. There's actually the next state of the quest is we unlock Destroy Ganondorf. And it says wind, fire, water, lightning, and spirit. The five sages have awakened and trusted you with their power. But you still don't know where Demon King Ganondorf is. But Puro says she suspects the depths. So you have to work with Joshua, who's been investigating the depths, and you might gain a lead. Now, we've already been doing that, so we'll eventually have to go and deal with Master Koga. He was alluding to Ganondorf or the Dark Lord before, so we should probably go and see what's going on with that. However, before then, We've got lots of wrapping up, lots of different things that we've not touched upon that we'd like to, because once we finish Master Koga's quest, we're pretty much going to be straight on till the end of the game. And
We're not going to... We don't want our final episode of the season to be, and here's the other 23 shrines. We want to end on Ganondorf.
Yeah.
Correct.
Even though most players probably would just go and kill Ganondorf at this point and then do the wrap up.
But we are
canonically loading a save.
Jeez, all the listeners, you're gonna have to wait.
Yes, but while they're waiting, Luke, where can we be found?
We can be found on Twitter at HyruleFieldPod, because we are gamers and nerds who spend all day talking about games. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Please make sure you're giving a 5-star rating and a review. If you want to help support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com. For just $1 a month, you can hear episodes as soon as I'm done editing, and that money helps keep everything online and keep things ticking over. It's not like we're making a big profit or anything, but it helps mean that the episodes are never going to suddenly disappear, because it's not coming out of my bank account to keep them online. And if you're a big fan and you want to spend more time chatting to us, drop one of us a DM. We all met on an old gaming forum for UK gaming magazines. And we finally, in the year 2024, decided maybe a good idea to use a Discord instead of all trying to log onto our computers and use ancient forum architecture. But if you drop us a DM and we think you're cool, then maybe we'll send you the invite.
Ooh.
Teasing them even more, they'll look.
I'm not just going to drop the invite and let any old riffraff come in. I'm sure some deviants listen to this, as we were talking about earlier.
Well, to avoid being a deviant, I think we need some sage word of advice from Jas.
Yeah, here's something to think about. Pregnant women are the only true bodybuilders.
I guess.
Thanks, mate. Well, I mean, we were bodybuilders in this episode.
Hooray!
Pretty good. For more zingers like that, tune in next week. Catch you next time.
Cheerio.
Bye!